السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So inshallah, we're going to proceed with the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the session number 24. And last week we talked about the open announcement of the da'wah, when it changed from a secret or private da'wah to the public da'wah. And I talked about how one of the uncles of the Prophet ﷺ opposed him right at the beginning. So when the Prophet ﷺ was ordered to remind or to warn his close relatives, he got up onto the Mount Safa and he called out to his family, to the relatives in the different tribes of Makkah Mukarramah. Remember, it was one big family. It was from the Quraysh, and basically it was one large family for different tribes within that, sub-tribes within that large tribe of Quraysh. So the Prophet ﷺ called out, and his uncle, which uncle was it? Abu Lahab. Yes, Abu Lahab. Okay, and Abu Lahab, his uncle, he calls out I said his name was Abd al-Shams. His name was actually Abdul Uzza. It was not Abdul Shams, it was Abdul Uzza. So Abdul Uzza or Abu Lahab spoke out against his nephew at that time. And he said that, did you, Alihada Jama'atana, did you call us for this? And he was really upset that he basically thought his time was being wasted. And he left. And then we talked about how, we talked about the Prophet ﷺ inviting, using food and using it'am al-ta'am as a source or a tool of da'wah, and he called 40 members of his relatives to a banquet or a party, you could say, or a dinner. And when he got them together, at the first instance, Abu Lahab did not allow him to speak. He knew that his nephew was about to speak. So what did he do? What did he say? He told him, yeah, he said scatter, and then what's the reason he gave? Remember, there was a miracle that took place. The Prophet ﷺ told Ali Radhan to go get one shoulder of a lamb or one shoulder piece, and he got some one sa' of atta, you could say, or flour, and he got one bowl of milk. And from that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah. Jazakallah khair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in that, and he was able to feed 40 men from his family, and they ate to their fill. So Abu Lahab used that as an excuse. He says, this man, meaning my nephew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has put sihr on you. He has used magic or has put a spell on this food, and that's how he was able to, from a small amount, feed so many people. So scatter, go home. And they all left. Then the Prophet ﷺ again, after a few days, he did the same thing. He gathered them together again for dinner. And at that time, he did actually get to speak. And he gave them da'wah to Islam. So we're talking about how public da'wah, and this is the difference. In the beginning, when the Prophet ﷺ was doing a private da'wah, they did not care too much. They allowed him. They knew that he was giving da'wah and this new religion, according to them, this new religion, even though it was the religion, the asal religion of Makkah Mukarramah. But they're saying that this new religion, and at first they didn't care too much about it. They kept on saying, you know, he's just doing it to his own friends and his own close relatives, so let him be. And then it turned into a public da'wah. After that, they started getting alarmed. They started to get worried as one by one, people in the society, not only just the slaves and those who people would consider as the low parts of society, but the honorable and the leaders of Quraysh, they started to becoming Muslim. For example, one of them was a man named Rukana. Now, Rukana ibn Abdi Yazid ibn Hashim. So his grandfather was actually the cousin of the grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ. So the cousin, who's the grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ? Abdul Muttalib. So Abdul Muttalib, and so his cousin was Hashim. Okay, his father's name was Hashim also, but his cousin's name was also Hashim, and that cousin is the grandfather of Rukana. So Rukana was actually famously known as a wrestler. He was a huge built guy. And he was known that he never lost a match. So no matter how many times he wrestled with someone, he never lost a match with anyone. Okay, and so now Rasulullah ﷺ is walking by, he sees Rukana, and he says to him that he gives him da'wah, he starts giving him da'wah, and he says to him that basically, if I beat you in a match, would you become Muslim? And he says he accepts the challenge basically. And the Prophet ﷺ, remember we know that the Prophet ﷺ was given, and all the Anbiya were given the strength of 40 men. So Rasulullah ﷺ easily picks him up and drops him on the ground. And as he does this, Rukana doesn't, he's just amazed. He's like, how did this happen? And he thinks that maybe he slipped or something. So he says to him, Ud, like, come, let's do it again. Round two, basically. And the Prophet says, again, drops him on the ground. And again, the third time, drops him on the ground. And another one of the rawayats, it comes that they actually made a bet. And this is before betting was haram. So they made a bet over 100 sheep. If he wins, if the Prophet, whoever wins, basically. So the Prophet 100, then 200, 300. After 300, the Rukana again, he was amazed, how is he beating me like this? I have never lost. No one ever put my back to the ground ever in his past. So he says that, how is this possible? And the Prophet gives him back, he says that you become Muslim. He becomes Muslim, and he says to him, I'll show you even more. There's one of the rawayas comes, I'll even show something, a'jab min thalik, something that is even more amazing than this. He gives him his, basically he says, I don't want the 300 ghanam. And he says to him that, they say, and this is one of the rawayas, I think it's weak, but they say that, this story, I don't know if it happened in this instance or there was another one, but there's actually a masjid. It's close to Masjid al-Jinn. So if you go in Makkah Mukarramah, if you're going for ziyarah, there's Masjid al-Jinn. And that's where the Prophet ﷺ met with the jinn and he gave them da'wah. And then close to that, there's another masjid called Masjid al-Shajara. Masjid al-Shajara. And the Prophet ﷺ, now I don't know if that's related to this instance or not, but the Prophet ﷺ actually says to Rukana, that let me show you something even more amazing than me dropping you on the ground. So he says, look at that tree. And he looks over the tree and he calls the tree. And the tree gets out of the ground and walks over to the Prophet ﷺ. And then the Prophet ﷺ tells it to go back and it goes back. Now Rukana, seeing this, he becomes Muslim. And that was just one of the instances. So then we have other Muslims. Now Bilal Radhan became Muslim early on. And I'll talk about him next week, inshallah. I want to have one special session about him because of the nobility and honor that Bilal Radhan holds in the eyes of the Muslims, inshallah, especially with the current climate and situation that's going on. And then we have so we have these different Sahaba who are becoming Muslim at that time. And we have the, remember one thing we talked about, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas Radhan. And we talked about, on the Muslim side actually, Khalid ibn Sa'id. So we talked about this last week, Khalid ibn Sa'id Radharan, he became Muslim, he's a teenager, or he's a young man. His father beat him so much with a stick, that he broke a stick on his head, and he got a gash on his head. So on the Muslim side, he was the first to shed blood for the sake of Islam. And on the other side, first person to shed blood, meaning to deal a blow on the kuffar, was actually Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radhiyallahu anhu. So it comes in the seerah books that the Muslims, they would go out to different areas and they would hide, remember they were hiding their Islam. So they would go out to different parts of Makkah, into the Sha'b, into different valleys, and they would go and pray, okay, in secret. And on one of these occasions, the Muslims were praying either together, it was a small group of Muslims praying together, and at that time a group of kuffar happened to pass by, they saw them, they started exchanging some hot words, they had a heated argument, and they started to fight. At that point, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas actually hit a man, one of the non-Muslims, he hit him with, I think it was a camel whip or something. He hit him and he actually started bleeding from that. So they say that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas is the first one to shed blood on the non-Muslim side for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one of the things that happened when the Prophet got started giving the public da'wah, we know that more and more people are coming to Islam.
So this threat of Islam, this threat of this new religion is becoming more and more real for the kuffar, and they're getting worried about this now. So they're always looking, you know, talking to in Dar al-Nadwa, where they would sit and they would discuss these and they would meet with each other. And on one occasion, Rasulullah ﷺ was sitting next to the Kaaba and he's by himself. Either he's doing dhikr or he's reflecting, or he was sitting next to the Kaaba. And the leaders of the Quraysh are sitting in Dar al-Nadwa and they're seeing the Prophet ﷺ sit there. So Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, this is one of the leaders of the Quraysh, and he's actually the father of... Anybody know who's he the father of? Famous woman who becomes Muslim later on.
Hind,
yes. Hind, radiallahu anha, she became Muslim way later. She was the daughter of Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Okay? And because of the death of Utbah in the battle of Badr, that's why she takes revenge on Hamza, radiallahu anha. Anyway, so... we have Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. He says to the Quraysh that's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting over there. What do you say? Should I go and speak to him on behalf of us or the leaders of on the behalf of the Dar al-Nadwa? And they said, go ahead, you can go and do that. So he goes up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sits next to him, and he says to him that innaka qad atayta qawmak bi amrin azim, that you came with this huge, basically this new thing, you came with this new religion, and فَرَّقْتَ بِهِ جَمَاعَتَنَا, that you came and you have split up our community, you have caused disunity in within the families, father and son are fighting, mother and daughter are fighting, cousins, brothers, they're fighting each other because of this religion. And he says this, and you've spoken evil against our idols, our gods. So you have done all this, and I don't know anyone who has brought anything more evil than you brought. So he's talking to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in this way, and he says that I have a proposal to give you, and maybe you can choose one of these options. So the Prophet ﷺ says to him, "Qul ya Abul Walid, asma." He says, "Go ahead, speak." Abul Walid, and he's talking to him, and even though he's just kind of, you know, disgraced him by talking to him in this evil way, but he's still being respectful to this elderly leader of the Quraysh by saying Abul Walid, calling by his laqab, by his kunya, and he's saying to him basically, Abul Walid, go ahead, speak, I'm listening to you. And he says, Yabna akhi, in kunta innama turidu bima ji'ta bih min hadhal amr malan. If you want, the first thing he proposed to him, he said that if you want wealth with what you're doing, basically if your goal and your aim is to collect wealth and you want to be a wealthy man, then we will collect wealth for you. Every household in Mecca will put together money and will make you the wealthiest person in Mecca. The second proposal, he says, wa in kunta turidu bihi sharafa. He says that if you want sharaf, you want honor, if you want a position, you want leadership, sawwadnaka alayna, we'll make you our sayyid, we'll make you our leader. Okay, another riwayah comes that we'll make you our king, basically. Okay, so he says that we will not make any decision except you will make the final, you'll be the one to make the final decision. And number three, the third proposal, he says that if you want with this, one of the riwayahs comes that if you want women, then we will line up our women and you can marry whoever you wish. And another riwayah comes, when kan hadha alladhi yatika ru'yan tara, that this thing that you see, these visions that you see, this being that comes to you with this wahi, if this is something that you're not able to put off, if you're not able to get, meaning he's saying that this is some kind of shaitan coming to you, then we will bring all the different doctors and the Raqis and all these different people, and they will we'll spend all our wealth to cure you from this evil or whatever has afflicted you. So he says these three things to him, and Rasulullah is waiting patiently. And this is one of the things that we learn, that when someone's arguing with you, when someone's even disgracing you by making fun of your religion and that kind of stuff, have patience and talk to him in a nice way. Rasulullah ﷺ listens to the whole thing, and after he says this, he's listening to him closely, and he says to him, "Aqad faraqta ya Abul Walid," that have you said what you want to say? Are you finished, basically? And Utbah says, yes, I'm finished. So then Rasulullah ﷺ, he did not respond to anything he said. He did not argue back with him and give him responses to whatever he was saying, but he made it simple. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he starts reading Surah Al-Fussilat, Ha Mim Tanzilu Min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He starts reading Surah Al-Fussilat up to the Sajda, and he makes Sajda towards the Kaaba. And then he says to Utba that this is what you have heard. So basically, you have the choice. The ball is in your court. I've given you what my response is. You can take it or you can leave it, whatever you want to do. Now Utba gets up from that gathering with the Prophet ﷺ, gets up and he's walking back to Dar al-Nadwa, and his face has changed. He has this different look on his face. And the people of Dar al-Nadwa, the leaders of Quraysh, they say this, that look, he's coming back and his face has changed. And the reason why his face has changed is because when he heard these powerful words of the Quran, he knew that this is not some kind of shaitan. He knew that this is not some kind of sihr. He knew that this is not something. And then the Prophet has come with something more than what we think. It's not some kind of game. It's not something that he wants to earn something of the dunya for this. So he says, comes back and he tells the people that basically I have heard the poets and I have seen the people who are sihr, the sahara, the people who do jadu and sihr and magic and these kind of things. And I know that this is nothing of those. This is nothing of the type. So you guys choose whatever you guys want to do. So and he got close to even accepting Islam at that point. It hit him hard. But again, because of their stubbornness or whatever you could say, not wanting to lose their position, they actually did not do that. Now, one of the things they did was, after this failed, this proposition to the Prophet ﷺ failed, they tried another attempt. They went to the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and Abu Talib was actually the leader of Quraysh. So he was the leader of the Quraysh, and he was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, now Rasulullah ﷺ was the nephew, so they go to him and they say to him that please talk to your nephew, stop him from this da'wah, stop him from this new religion. He's causing a lot of strife and disunity and whatnot. And we don't want it to get to the next level. They're basically kind of threatening him in a way, saying please you talk to him before we do something about this. Now Abu Talib, he asked, when he was sitting there and they're sitting with him, there's two riwayas. One of them, he asks his son Aqil. He says, go and call Muhammad says, go call your cousin. So Rasulullah ﷺ comes, and this is in the gathering of the Quraysh. And Abu Talib says that they are complaining that you have done this, and you're causing disunity. So can you stop what you are doing? Can you stop this da'wah? And Rasulullah ﷺ responds at that time. He says that, He says that مَا أَنَا بِأَقْدَرَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَدَعَ لَكُمْ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْ تُشْعِلُوا لِي مِنْهَا شُعْلَىٰ. Meaning, يَعْنِي الشَّمْسِ. So he looks up to the sun, he looks up to the sky, looks up to the sun, and he says to them that I'm not able to leave this da'wah, this mission that I'm on, just like you're not able to go to the sun and take a spark or something from the sun and bring it down to the earth. So he says, basically, I'm not going to leave this. Okay, and then that time Abu Talib, he says, مَا كَذَبَنَا إِبْنُ أَخِي قَطْ. So he says to the people, he said that my nephew never lied in his life. So he basically trying to appeal to them to leave, to just let him go. And at that point, the gathering finishes. Again, they come complain again to Abu Talib later on. Abu Talib calls his nephew again. This is again in a private gathering. So just Abu Talib and his nephew, Rasulullah ﷺ. And again he tells them that they're complaining. They're telling me to stop. And I don't know how long I can hold them off. So tell me, can you stop what you're doing? Can you stop, talking about their idols? Can you stop this da'wah? And at that point, Rasulullah ﷺ, he looks at his uncle in the eye. And he says, Ya Amma, O my uncle, my beloved uncle, Wallahi, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لو وضعوا الشمس في يميني, if they put the sun in my right hand, والقبر في يساري, and they take the moon, they put it in my left, على أن أترك هذا الأمر حتى يظهره الله أو أهلك فيه ما تركته. That if they put the sun in my right and they put the moon in my left, that I leave and they punish me in this way, and they tell me to leave this da'wah and leave this mission, I swear by Allah I will not. Meaning either I'll complete my mission or I will die trying. So he says this. At that point, Rasulullah gets up and he's about to leave. Abu Talib says to his nephew, Ya Muhammad, come back. Rasulullah was standing at the doorway, he was about to leave. Abu Talib says to him, please, my nephew, turn around. Look me in the eye. So he turns around, and then Abu Talib says to him, Idhhab yabna akhi, go, my nephew, faqul ma ahbabt. Go and say whatever you want. Go and give da'wah and say whatever you want. فَوَاللَّهِ لَا أُسْلِمَكَ لِشَيْءٍ أَبَدًا. I will never give you up. I will never let them, as long as I'm alive, I will not let them harm you. So basically he told them, I will protect you for the rest of my life. Now, one of the things they tried to do after this, they seeing all these failed attempts to stop the Prophet ﷺ. So now they start calling him names. They start calling him soothsayer, sahir, meaning magician, okay, Majnoon, they start calling him that he's crazy, they start calling him these different things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in the Quran, Surah Al-Hajr, ayah number 6, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem, وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرِ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ. They said that, oh, the one that the dhikr, the wahi comes down, you're crazy. They start calling him crazy. كذلك, and then another ayah, Surah Dhariyat, كَذَلِكَ مَا أَتَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا قَالُوا سَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is giving tasalli to the Prophet ﷺ. He's consoling him and he's saying, Ya Rasulullah, O the Messenger, or O my Messenger, O Muhammad ﷺ, that this is not something new. All the messengers from the past, whenever they came with the religion, the truth, and they start giving them da'wah, the people would call them sahir or majnoon. They would call them magicians or they were soothsayers, whatever, and they would call him, they call them crazy. So this is not something new. Continue in your mission. Now the Prophet ﷺ continue on and he's giving da'wah to the people. And we have, for example, Islam of Dhimad al-Raqi. Now this is one of the men, he was actually a known Raqi. And he would heal people who had jinn and the shayateen and that kind of stuff come to them. So this man came one time and he heard that the people are calling this person that he's mashur, that sihr has been done to him, or he's a magician himself. So he said, okay, you know what, maybe I can go and cure this man from whatever's afflicting him. So he goes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says to him that, why don't you sit down, let me cure you from this shaitan or whatever is afflicting you. And Rasulullah tells him, okay, sit down, just hear what I have to say. And Rasulullah starts with saying, just a simple, the beginning of the khutbah. He says, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهِ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهِ. He starts saying this to this man, and Dhimad, hearing this, he's just astonished just by hearing this. And he knows that this is not some crazy man's talk. This is not some magician's talk. This is something that's must be from the heavens. So he says to him, say it to me again. A'id alayya kalimatik. He says, say those words again. He was basically just mesmerized by these words. He says, read these words again. Say these words again. The Prophet says again, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُ وَنَسْتَعِينُ. He starts saying this again. 3 times he asked him, repeat what you're saying. Because it was so beautiful and the words were so beautiful. He says that to him and he says that, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ قَوْلَ الْكَهِنَةِ. I have heard the words of those kahina, those soothsayers and those magicians, وَقَوْلَ sahara, وَقَوْلَ shaara, and I've heard the words of poets, فَمَا سَمِعْتُ مِثْلَ هَؤُلَاءِ قَلِمَاتِ. I have never heard anything like what you are saying. And he becomes Muslim. Now another man by the name of At-Tufail ibn Amr Ad-Dawsi. Okay, and Ad-Dawsi, this is the tribe of another famous Sahabi. What's his name?
Abu Huraira.
Barakallahu feek. Abu Huraira radhiallahu anhu. Okay, Abu Huraira radhiallahu anhu Ad-Dawsi. So Ad-Dawsi, Bani Dawsi, this is a famous tribe. And Tufail ibn Amr Ad-Dawsi, he radhiyallahu anhu, he becomes Muslim. This is way before Abu Huraira then, because Abu Huraira then became Muslim at the end of the Prophet ﷺ's life, towards the end of the Prophet ﷺ's life. So At-Tufail ibn Amr al-Dawsi actually gets the reward of Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu becoming Muslim. Tufail ibn Amr, he's a famous poet from Dawes tribe, and he was famously known in Arabia for his poetry. And when they would go for Suq Ukaz, they would go and, you know, have this large celebration type thing, like a where different poets would come and they would recite their poetry. And he was one of the famous ones that would have a front seat basically in this competition, and he would be sitting there and reciting his poetry. So one day he would come to Mecca a lot, and one of the occasions when he came, as soon as he didn't even enter into Mecca yet, at the outskirts of Mecca, he said they had men positioned all around Mecca. Anybody coming into Mecca, they would start warning them and telling them, there's a man here by the name of Muhammad, and he's crazy. He's a kahin, he's a sahir. He's, you know, he's going to do magic on you. So don't even go close to him. Don't listen to anything he's going to say. Just stay away from him. So Tufail ibn Amr said, they scared me so much that I took a piece of cloth or cotton, you could say some kind of cloth or something, and he stuck it into his ears. And he said that I went for tawaf. So you said he went, and as he went for tawaf, the Prophet ﷺ happened to be there. So he said, I was there and I was close to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ was either giving da'wah or he was reading some Quran, maybe he was doing namaz or whatever he was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, some of the words happened to fall in my ears. I heard something of what he said. And he said that it was beautiful. It was just something that I never heard before. And then he's in this hadith that he's narrating himself. He says, I started thinking to myself that, wa thaqila ummi, like, may your mother lose you. That, what are you doing? Why do you have cotton in your ears? Why do you have this cloth in your ears? You're a famous poet, and you know what right and wrong is. You know what poetry is, and what fake poetry is, and nonsense is. So you should be able to differentiate what this is. So what if you listen to what he says? You're going to be able to differentiate what between what he's saying. So he says, he took out the cloth, and he said, I went close to the Prophet ﷺ, and he started listening to what the Prophet ﷺ had to say. And all of a sudden he knew that this is not poetry, this is not sihr, it's nothing else, it's not soothsaying. And he knew this is the truth and this is Islam, and he becomes Muslim right away. So we see again and again the Prophet ﷺ, just mere just sheer force of da'wah, of using the Quran, using the ayat of the Quran. And remember again, going back to the history, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Quran in Arabic to these people, was because they were famous for their poetry, they were famous for their use of language, and sending the Quran as a miracle of language, it's a beautiful miracle of language, it's full and rich in language, and that's what hit them the hardest, is that as soon as they heard it, they knew that this is not something, that this is not magic, and this is not a spell, it's not poetry, it's nothing like that, but it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, through their stubbornness, they decided not to become Muslim, and they continue on like that. So inshallah, we'll continue on next week, inshallah, with I know the Bilal actually became Muslim before all of these things I'm talking about, but I want to have a special session on Bilal, so we'll have that next week, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Subhanallah, bi-jawabil-izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.